Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism, and my guest today is Lauren Lee Stone, an integrative health practitioner in Connecticut. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Patty. So nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Lauren and I have worked together when I rolled DDR into what was then Epidemic Answers. We were on the board together, and I love all the different kinds of work that she does, which you're going to hear all about. So, Lauren, you got into this through one of your sons, isn't that correct?
Yeah, so I got into this because, you know, like many parents, my first child, you know, he was born into this world healthy. However, he started to exhibit these sort of interesting and not very typical kinds of behaviors and symptoms that my pediatrician kept saying, oh, it's normal. But, you know, over time, those accumulation of symptoms were just a little bit, you know, strange and hard and very hard as a parent to deal with. So, you know, for example, he had from the onset severe colic. Like, he would scream from 4 p.m. till midnight and writhe in pain. It was just horrifying to watch. You know, his stools, they were loose and burning, like literally would cause rashes on his bum, you know, and nobody said anything to me like, oh, change your diet, or because I was nursing at the time, right? And he had chronic ear infections. And then he ended up with what was like a pretty severe sensitivity to light and to sound. Later, we realized that he had hyperacusis, which was super, super intense in that he couldn't even be in a room with more than one or two people because the reverberation of the sound was too much.
Wow.
And then he ended up actually having seizures after his MMR vaccine. And he was eventually diagnosed with autism. I was told by both the Yale Child Study Center and my pediatrician that there was nothing I could do, that he would be institutionalized, and then I should prepare for that.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that was at the Child Study Center at Yale?
Yes, it was.
Because I know you're nearby there, and you went to Yale, right?
I did. Yeah, so I trusted them. And I also, you know, I come from a family of, you know, very, very conventionally minded medical professionals. I mean, my mom was an oncology nurse, right? And she just revered the medical profession and taught me to as well. And it's not that I don't revere it still. I just felt really, I felt let down, right? I mean,
of course.
How is it possible that a physician and an expert in the field of autism could tell me as a mom that there's nothing I could do? Right? That he was just,
it's astounding. How long ago was that? He's how old?
He's just turned 29.
Almost 30 years ago, Lauren.
I know.
Wow.
But the good news is that, you know, I took it as a challenge, obviously. I was like, there's no way I'm going to let this happen to my child. And I quit my job. I went back to school, studied biochemistry, studied nutrition, studied homework toxicology. The amazing, you know, the amazing part of the story is that he lost his diagnosis when he was 8. Like I said, he just turned 29. He just finished his PhD in chemical engineering at Brown. He got married last year.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, he's like, you would never know,
Don't you want to go back to the Yale Child Study Center and say, see, look what we did. Don't you ever tell a parent that again.
Yeah, I should do that. I feel like, though, I mean, that would be something that, you know, my son would have to do because
of
it's really his story, and he would, you know, he would need to kind of be a part of that. And I'm not sure he's going to want to do that.
Wow. So but, you got a PhD in what?
So I have a PhD in Italian and French medieval and Renaissance literature. I was a professor at Cornell. I was studying women's studies, actually, the legislation of women's bodies across, you know, the centuries. That was what my dissertation was all about. And,
oh, so your PhD isn't in healing or anything.
No, but lucky for me, I was able to, because I knew how to research so well, and I had access to the best libraries in the world, I was able to turn around and go back to school. It wasn't a big deal for me to go back to school. So I got my master's in nutrition, you know, along with biochemistry, like I said, and I studied all kinds of, you know, healing modalities. I just followed whatever my son needed. Because at the time, there really weren't great medical professionals. There were some, but there were few and far between, right? It was hard to find someone.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, it was easier for me to become his medical professional, and that's what I did.
Wow. So where did you start with your son, with diet and nutrition or something else?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you have to, well, I mean, for me, like, yes, you start with diet and nutrition, but even before that, you know, I needed to figure out what were the pieces of the puzzle that created, you know, this inflammatory process that caused the symptoms. And so I just started to reverse engineer everything that happened, right? Mm-hmm. Why, you know, why did he have colic? Why were the loose stools? Why did he have ear infections? Why did he have seizures, right? And I began to put together this you know, it was like a research study on all of the toxic elements that, mm-hmm. you know, created, you know, that merged together and, you know, created the symptoms, right?
And his total load.
Exactly, which you were so beautifully, you know, coined, and that's just such a great, great term.
And now I'm writing a new book on it.
Oh, good for you. We need that book. That's great. Yeah. So that's what you know, before I thought about it as total load, it was all about toxicity, right? What toxins were playing a role, and how can I gently peel away those layers of toxicity
to get
back at the core, right? And yes, diet was number one, of course, mm-hmm. and well, healing the gut, right? He had so much gut dysfunction. You know, he had I think he came into this world at a disadvantage because, as I said, I was the daughter of an oncology nurse, and we were fed antibiotics like it was candy. So my microbiome was just not healthy. And, you know, a child born into this world with an unhealthy microbiome at the get-go, it's such a disadvantage.
Right.
You know, and then there was my maternal toxic load that, you know, I thought I was healthy, right? And whenever I went to the doctor, I was certainly told I was incredibly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had mercury amalgams in my mouth. You know, I, you know, drank, not when I was pregnant, but before that, I drank tons of, like, Tab and Diet Cokes and things like
of
that.
Of course. We
I
all
didn't
did.
Know. Right? You don't know what you don't know, right? And so, you know, he came out of the womb at such a disadvantage because he was loaded with actually just, you know, centuries of transgenerational toxins. I mean, the past, whatever I held on to, I gave it all to him because, as we know, it all crosses the placenta, like the good and the bad, right?
Right.
So I think that the main stressor for my son, though, was the heavy metals, the mercury, from the mercury amalgams, and also because, you know, I had a lot of lead as well in my body. We lived in an older home, and my mother was a constant decorator who was constantly repainting and having the walls, like, you know, sanded down. And you can just imagine that kind of exposure. So, yeah, it all went and settled.
So did you have your amalgams out?
I did once I did my research and found out all of the stuff, but that was, you know, that was part of my journey. But, yes,
mm-hmm.
and I've had to do major, you know, metal detoxes for years.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, it does take years because things like mercury is glycophilic, right? So it heads to the fatty tissues in the brain and the breast, right?
Right.
And that's really problematic because, you know, our kids, where is the fatty organ in the most fatty organ in a child's body? His brain, right?
Right.
But lead, it goes into the bone, right? And that's much harder to access. So as the bone turns over, you have to keep reintroducing the detox, right, to try to bind the lead as it emerges from the bone.
So your health was pretty good, even though you harbored all these toxins, but then you kind of cleaned yourself out into him.
Yeah.
And he had the burden. Now, did your health change at all, and did you put you and your family on special diet, or what did you do?
Yeah, I mean, again, diet was number one. It's so important because we are, as a nation, we are, like, starving at a cellular level, and that is because our foods are so nutrient-poor. I mean, there's a famous study that I always quote wherein I studied the nutrient content of oranges, conventional orange grown today and a conventional orange grown in the 1950s. And as it turns out, you need to eat 8 oranges grown today to make the equivalent nutrient content of a single orange grown in the 1950s. So it's shocking.
Wow.
Our kids, most kids aren't even eating oranges, but, you know, they're eating really fake foods and, all kinds of foods that are more toxic than they are nutritive, right? So they really are starving at a cellular level. Food is the first step, obviously cleaning up the diet, and from my perspective, I feel like, you know, in addition to all of the plastics and the plasticizers and the, you know, chemicals in the food, I think that, you know, the addition of glyphosate to our children's body burden has been really, really detrimental and has been one of the foundational pieces of this chronic illness puzzle for our children. I do think that, you know, I had a ton of exposures growing up, and I have really limited detoxification capabilities, I found out later through doing genetics. And so I was able to sustain relative health, I think, because my toxic burden was not as it didn't accumulate as early or as quickly.
Right.
And glyphosate only came into the fore after I was, I was an adult, right, or closer to an adult. So that was a major component of his healing journey was, A, getting rid of all of the things that he was allergic to, which were many, gluten, dairy, soy, you know, to name a few. B, trying to figure out how to get the cleanest and most nutrient-dense foods in, you know, as much as possible, and teaching him to love those foods, right? That's a whole other story. And then C, like healing that gut lining, right? One of the things that glyphosate does is, you know, it's first patented as an antibiotic, so A, it kills off all the good flora, and it preferentially kills off the flora that help us to make our feel-good neurotransmitters, like, you know, serotonin, dopamine, GABA, those kinds of things.
Right.
But it also causes leaky gut. It causes the release of zonulin, right? So it really is a major factor in causing leaky gut. We have to even think about autism as being, a brain injury, which it is in many instances, or an inflammatory process going on in the brain, right, that we need to figure out how to reverse. However, you can't heal that brain until you heal the gut, because whatever is going on in the gut lining is reflected in the blood-brain barrier. So if the gut is leaky, it's more than likely that the brain is leaky as well. And that's dangerous, right? That's like the point of departure for so much.
So at what point, when you learned all this, did you decide, I have to change my career? I have to do 180 degrees here and teach the world what I just learned.
So what happened was, you know, when Aiden lost his diagnosis, I mean, it was considered a miracle, right? And word travels fast. And so I just started getting phone calls from all kinds of, you know, parents desperate for information, you know, and the truth is, like, once you know this kind of thing, you can't keep it to yourself. You have
right.
to, like, there's
you want to shout
urgency.
It to the world.
Exactly, right? There's just such an urgency because we're all being told that that, you know, it's genetic, your child will not, like, there's nothing you can do. But if it's genetic, maybe, like, partially, but there's so much you can do, right? Healing is real. Healing happens, right? And our bodies are hardwired to heal. We just have to give them the tools, to give the body the tools. And so I started to teach on that. I started to teach parents, you know, what are those tools to healing, right? How can you reverse engineer your child's diagnosis? And it grew into a practice. You know, it wasn't intentional. It just happened.
Isn't that what John Lennon says, that life's what happens when you're busy making plans?
Exactly.
happened. Now, did you work with any kind of doctor at any point, or you were really just self-taught?
Yes, I did. I worked very closely with Nancy O'Hara for many years. We were in the same office together. And
who was that?
Me.
Who?
Nancy O'Hara.
Oh, Nancy O'Hara, sure.
Yeah. And so it was a beautiful thing. I mean, I was very, very lucky to have, you know, a mentor who was so lovely and loving and knowledgeable.
And 180 degrees from those other doctors who said, we can't do anything, goodbye.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And so you continued to educate yourself not only about autism and the gut, but about homotoxicology, which we'll talk about in more depth in a minute, and, you know, what's happening, the inflammation that's happening, and then, you know, Nancy O'Hara's emerged as one of the pandas experts, not only what caused this, but all these different tools you can have in your tool chest to fix them. What was one of the first tools that you learned about after diet? Something that the detox
so
part?
Diet and then supporting the mitochondria was super important, and then layering in the gentle detox with the homotoxicology. So it was that kind of that was the way I worked. That was the path I took, and it turns out it was the right path, because you can't ask the body to detoxify if the channels of elimination are clogged up or closed, right?
Right.
And if B, your systems are undernourished and not functioning optimally, you know, because we are, in order to detoxify, you're asking the body to put more energy into something, and when there's, you know, when there's so little coming in, there's just not enough fire there to get the work done. So
help our listeners. You said support the mitochondria. That's our energy batteries that keep us running. How would you do that?
So it's really a combination of B vitamins, CoQ10, carnitine, which is an amino acid. Those are the main components. And the cocktail can be a little bit different depending on the individual. Some people, depending on, you know, their specific genetic profile, might need more of a certain kind of B or less of a certain kind of B vitamin, and also depending on just how undernourished they are, and how clogged up their detoxification pathways are. So it's definitely an art to try to figure out dosing on that.
Do you do testing?
I do a lot of testing, but I also muscle test. I depend on that. I mean, I really do make things really individualized through muscle testing.
I love muscle testing.
Yeah, me too.
I muscle test 100 times a day with what should I have for lunch? How many of these do I need to test?
Exactly. I think that was one of the key ingredients to my son's healing, too, is that I learned how to muscle test early in the game. And I was able to do things in a more, you know, individualized way, right?
And what form do you use of muscle testing?
I do O-ring testing.
O-ring, so do I. That's the way I test myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just describe it quickly for our listeners.
Right. So basically, you know, if you start out you can test any muscle. Many people do the arm muscle. I do the O-ring, which is where you put your finger and your thumb into an O, and then you use your other hand to, you know, gently test the strength, and you get a baseline for, you know, the muscle in a strong position. And then you bring something into the field that is, you know, good for it or not good for the body or not good for the body. And interestingly, the body will tell you if it's not good, right? The muscle will become weak, and you won't be able to hold the O-ring. So basically, you know, a yes for me is a strong O-ring. A no is a weak, right? So, you know, you start out by, you can do foods, you can, you know, you can test supplements, you can test dosing, you can test people that way.
How fun is that?
I know. So anyway, it's very, it's just a beautiful and powerful way to begin to have a conversation with the body, right?
And I love it.
That really is how you can ask for healing at a deeper level and make things move a little bit more quickly and efficiently.
Lauren, this is so interesting. We need to take a break. When we come back, we can talk about some of the things that you have learned about that you want to share, homotoxicology, and how I got re-fascinated with you was your blog on inflammation, and it goes so deep on inflammation. So we want to be sure and touch on that.
Okay.
So you're listening to the Autism Detectives with my wonderful guest, Lauren Lee Stone, who practices in Connecticut. And we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. My guest, Lauren Lee Stone, an integrative health practitioner in Connecticut. Lauren, before we go on a deep dive into detox, why don't you tell people how they can find you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, my website, my business name is actually Althea, A-L-T-H-E-A, Health and Wellness. So you can Google that, or you can Google my name, Lauren Lee Stone, Lauren L-E-E Stone. So either way works.
And do you have an email or your website is Althea Health?
And Wellness, yep.
And Wellness.
Info at Althea Health and Wellness is the email.
Okay. Terrific. So we're full of all these load factors, these toxins, these pass generational stuff, these metals, what do you do? How do you get them out?
So the way my whole perspective is, based on human toxicology, which is the idea that the body is a flow system, right? And that symptoms are really a, they're a message from the body. They are an expression of the body doing its work. So in Western medicine, we're all about suppressing symptoms. And, there's nothing wrong with, symptom relief if it's needed. But the idea that you're always, like you're pushing a fever down or, if you have, a loose stool, like you give something to bind the stool so you're not, you're not allowing the body's processes to happen. That from a homotoxicology perspective is really counterintuitive because you're blocking the body's natural healing mechanisms, right? So like a fever is, the body's way of killing off pathogens, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And again, you don't want it to be too high, but you also don't want to squelch it altogether. So basically, homotoxicology is a study of toxins, right, and how toxins impact the human body, right? And from this perspective, like, most of these processes are really a result of the accumulation of toxic elements. So what is a toxin, right? So we know of toxins that like the ones we spoke of, the heavy metals, the chemicals, the pesticides, right? Those are all toxins. And you can also talk about toxins in terms of, or not toxins, maybe it would be more like stressors, right? In terms of infectious elements, right? Anything that stresses out the immune system is something that is going to add to that load that we were talking about.
Like an allergic food reaction, even.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the real issue is that when the immune system is alerted to something that it deems to be unhealthy, right, a food allergen, dust, pollen, or an infection, or a heavy metal, right? The process is always the same. And it is, the immune system uses inflammation to, to try to restore balance. And really the problem is that we are exposed to so many toxins in so many different levels that the immune system kind of loses its focus, basically. And when, when it's unable to deal with something, that element, be it an infection, be it a toxic element, it's going to get stored somewhere in the body, and it's just going to increase the total inflammatory burden of the body. And what the end result then is a dysregulated immune system, an immune system that's not functioning the way it ought to.
How do you turn that around?
Well, that's how we get into the detoxification. So once you've opened those channels of elimination, as we mentioned, and you've supported the organ systems and the mitochondria, and so everything is functioning, and you're nutritionally sound, I begin to work with homeopathic detoxification protocols that are super, super gentle, but that can help to re-educate and retarget the immune system. So homeopathics are just beautiful because unlike, medications like an antibiotic, for example, they don't step in and do the work for the body. So like an antibiotic will come in and kill off the stress, let's say, right?
Right.
And sometimes you need to do that. But what happens to the immune system after you do that? It's necessarily a little bit less empowered because it hasn't been able to do the work it's supposed to be doing. What homeopathics do is they step in and ask the body to do the work. So instead of, going in and killing off the strep, the homeopathic are like a flashlight shining on the strep and saying, hey, this is here. Come after this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the immune system starts to miraculously begin to self-regulate and begin to work again. So it's really beautiful. It's really gentle. The body only takes what it needs, right? And over time, what you're doing is you're empowering the immune system to function the way it's supposed to be functioning. And that's our goal, right? We want to have a body that's able to live in this crazy world, right? And the only way to do that is to educate the immune system on how to do that, like how to live in this crazy world. But you also have to start to peel those layers of toxicity away. And again, the best way to do that is to teach the immune system to do the work. It's much more.
So let me play devil's advocate a little bit. So
yes.
How is this different from vaccination?
So it's different in that a vaccination is the way the vaccines are developed is, you know, the idea of a vaccination is actually very interesting, and there are a lot of homeopathically derived vaccine alternatives.
I know.
That helps you trigger the immune system to be able to recognize and deal appropriately with, you know, a virus. So that is one thing, and that without overwhelming it. There are so many problems with the vaccines, the way that they are produced and disseminated in our culture. I mean, it's just crazy. But from my perspective, I think that one of the easiest ones to understand for the public at large is the use of adjuvants in a vaccine. So, you know, adjuvants are elements in the vaccine that are supposed to, you know, cause the immune system to, you know, have a bit of a flare, right?
Preservative.
But the adjuvants are actually like usually aluminum or mercury, and some other things that the immune system, they know the immune system doesn't like it, so it's going to cause the immune system to like hyper focus on what's going on, whatever the vaccine is, whatever's in there, and so that's going to create this immune reaction. The problem is that, you know, aluminum, mercury, all of these other elements are really, really toxic to the body.
And they add to the load.
Yeah, exactly.
That wasn't a fair question to ask you, and I don't want to focus on vaccines. I want to focus on helping people.
From your
point of view.
But it is an interesting, you know, there is a lot of similarity in the you know, the idea behind vaccination and the idea behind... But this is the way that you know, it's the way that it is, the way, it's just a more gentle approach, and it's not toxic, and it's fundamentally a different philosophy.
And it's like you say, the body only takes what it needs, so if you've given it something that it doesn't need, nothing happens.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. It's time for another break, Lauren, and this is just fascinating for our listeners whose kids may be in some diagnostic hell and need us to help them figure out a way to get out of there. So that's why I love this sequence that you're doing. So when we come back, I'd love to talk about inflammation, brain inflammation, other inflammation, and then how we get to autoimmunity, which is so problematic today. You're listening to the Autism Detective. My guest, Lauren Lee Stone, I could talk to for a week, and we only have an hour, Lauren, so I'll try not to get you off track again. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective, Lauren Lee Stone, an integrative practitioner in Connecticut. Lauren, you have all these things that come with the moms, that come with the vaccines, that come with living in this crazy world we live in, and then you also have these bugs, and everything causes inflammation. And what I've said in my book is that these are all things that end in itis. Itis mm-hmm. tells you there's inflammation, arthritis, any kind of itis. And what we're talking about here is encephalitis. Give us the short course in inflammation that I love that you have been doing in your blog, and how people can learn from you about that. Is that on your website?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, I have a lot on my website, particularly about pans and pandas, but because that is really the modern day, poster child for encephalitis, right?
Okay. So yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so encephalitis is really just brain inflammation, right? And it's an interesting thing. Like, we always think about, we know in our day-to-day lives, the symptoms of acute inflammation, right, in the brain. So, for example, if you have a concussion or if there's pressure from a growth, right?
Right.
You think about dizziness, nausea, blurred vision, right? Those kinds of things that we all, headache, right?
But it doesn't have to be an accident or an injury like that.
So that's what people don't really understand, right? Is that we are well educated in that form, that kind of presentation for inflammation in the brain. But we're not really educated for, things like infectious encephalitis or autoimmune encephalitis, which is the kind of encephalitis that I basically am talking about. So infectious encephalitis is usually a viral load that ends up causing reactivity in the brain and inflammation in the brain. Think about things like meningitis, right? Those are,
right.
that is a presentation that many of us have heard about. But it's not just viruses, right? We can, especially if the blood-brain barrier is leaky, because, our gut barrier is leaky. We've talked a little bit about that. Your brain is going to be much more at risk to be exposed to any and all kinds of, other infectious elements and or toxic elements that can cause this immune reactivity, which ends up, in many cases, becoming autoimmunity, wherein you have a dysregulated immune system that doesn't have the wherewithal to figure out how to go after whatever the toxic element is, be it an infection or something else.
And it turns on itself.
Exactly. It starts just shooting its fire everywhere and ends up causing more and more inflammation that ends up being quite systemic rather than targeted.
So two of the things that you see so much of are, especially in Connecticut, are Lyme and pandas. Yeah. They seem to go mm-hmm. together. Can mm-hmm. you talk about pandas briefly and the underlying yeah. Lyme that might be there too?
Yeah, of course. So pans and pandas are, two parts of the same picture. Pandas is, it's a long name, it's pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep. Pans is a bit of a newer diagnosis, it's pediatric acute onset neuropsychiatric syndrome. Pandas, again, is it's really associated with a strep infection, whereas pans can be anything, really. It can be the Lyme, right? It can be mold. It can be any, a viral infection, right?
It can be in adults, too, and not just children.
Exactly. But the issue really is, in both cases, we start to see a new set of symptoms, right? These neuropsychiatric symptoms. So in addition to, your typical, perhaps, symptoms like the brain fog or the headaches or those kinds of things, you're going to start to see irritability and mood swings and aggression, oppositional behaviors, things like anxiety, depression, and OCD, right?
Lots of OCD.
Yeah, right? A lot, and also tic disorders, sleep disturbances, sensory abnormalities, right? Some acute sensory issues. behavioral regressions, developmental regressions, so many symptoms that, you know, for most parents, they don't necessarily associate them with brain inflammation. Like, it's more like behavioral, right?
Right. So you run to the wrong people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
treat symptoms that have an underlying cause that nobody's looked for.
Right. So, you know, what we're doing in my practice and what, you know, other TANF literate practitioners are doing is that, you know, if we're taking the approach that, again, although even though the symptoms are neuropsychiatric, they are what seem to be behavioral or emotional or whatnot. However, there's always a point of departure, and generally speaking, it is an infection that's sitting in the background. So you have to get at the infection, but it's also not just the infection, right? We're back to the total load. Like, there's a slew of other issues that underlie the immune dysregulation that caused this, you know, inflammatory autoimmune reaction, right?
Right.
So you get at the infection, but then you have to start again to peel away those many, many layers of exposures and toxic elements and multi-generational exposures and stressors, you know, that underlie the immune dysregulation.
And I learned from Dr. Klinghart that these things are happening simultaneously, so you've got to zap them simultaneously as well as figuring out what's primary and getting them in the right sequence, which is really tricky.
Well, that's where muscle testing is so helpful, right?
Yep.
You can figure out the priorities.
Yep.
And figure out, you know, how to best begin that gentle peeling away of those toxic elements and layers of dysfunction.
So if there's Lyme underlying, then you're not going to render the prescription for antibiotics.
No.
Where are you going to go?
There's so many studies that have actually compared, you know, botanicals with antibiotics when it comes to Lyme, and, you know, the botanicals seem to have as much power, if not more, in treating the infection. And they don't cause even more immune dysregulation by killing off random swaths of the microbiome that we really need for our health, right? So from what I lay the groundwork with opening the channels of dissemination and supporting the mitochondria and supporting the organ systems, right, nutritionally, with nutraceuticals and homeopathic drainers. And then I go in with targeted homeopathic detoxification remedies. So like for Borrelia, you know, there are homeopathics that contain the resonant frequencies of Borrelia that help the body to really zone in and start to you know, eliminate the infection. Yeah. And then you couple that with botanicals that are super synergistic, you know, that also target the infection, and you have a beautiful powerhouse.
Lauren, it's just amazing that it's like a dance. We need to take our final break here. And when we come back, maybe you can give us an example of some of these botanicals and natural things that you're using.
Sure.
You're listening to the Autism Detectives with my guest, Lauren Lee Stone, a practitioner in Connecticut, Althea Health and Wellness. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior, by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. My guest, Lauren Lee Stone, is telling us about her incredibly integrative, multi-talented approach to brain inflammation. And, Lauren, when people come to you, some of them, I assume, have diagnoses such as PANS or PANDAS, but some of them don't even realize that their kids have a strep infection that's attacked their basal ganglia, or that they have underlying Lyme. And I love that you use muscle testing to determine some of that, and as well as to determine the priorities. And I think that's really where you and some of the other practitioners are unique. And I just want to bring up that I've interviewed some other ones, and Mary Coyle, for instance, who we have an archived episode with Mary Coyle on homotoxicology where she goes into that in much more depth. So that might be interesting for some of our listeners.
So yes, Mary's amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
So let's go into just a couple of the botanicals that might be used in some of these autoimmune or mitochondrial cocktails, or, you know, some that just give people a little more concrete idea of what you might do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, the first step is opening the pathways of elimination, which are the liver, the lymph, kidney, and the digestive organs, right? We want the child to be pooping every day.
You've got to be pooping, for sure. No constipation.
Yeah. And so I use a combination of homeopathic trainers and then also botanicals. Like, so for the liver, you would use, I would use a liver drainer, a homeopathic liver drainer, then pair that with something like milk thistle or dandelion root, depending on what, these are things that are bitters, right, that can help the liver and the biliary tree to function better. And it's individualized for each person. So it's not one thing, one combination that I use for everybody, but those are the kinds of things that I would use. I do like using milk thistle a lot with the kids because it's easy. And it's also a beautiful, antihistamine as well, natural antihistamine. And histamines go hand in hand with inflammation. And so our kids are always really, really high in histamine and mast cell activation and all this stuff. So it's a nice one.
So which one is that?
Milk thistle.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And those are things that can be bought over the counter, but used very carefully, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it can absolutely be purchased over the counter.
Now, can you eliminate PANS or PANDAS or Lyme, or are we managing them?
I believe you can eliminate. And I have seen a complete reversal in, diagnostic categories and symptoms and everything else. Even in testing, you can see, the actual, presence of the Lyme. It just goes down, and then you don't see it. And in muscle testing, you see the same thing.
Wow.
It's not overnight. It's not overnight, but it does, it absolutely can and does happen. So same thing for things like Epstein-Barr, that we always think of as always being there. It doesn't have to always be there. The body is brilliant, right? We are brilliantly endowed with the ability to heal ourselves. We just have to, access that, right? But you're asking, too, about botanicals for Lyme specifically. Again, I like to rotate things, but if you're looking for, powerhouses in the Lyme world, Artemisia is a big one. Pimento is a big one. Japanese knotweed. cryptolepis, those kinds of botanicals, and, you know, kind of cycling through them is always a great way to empower the immune system to do the work it needs to do by giving it, again, giving it those tools, right?
Right. And if you've got, to have Lyme or an active one of the Lyme viruses, you don't, or bacteria, what is it, a virus or a bacteria?
Bacteria.
You don't have to have a history of a bite, do you?
Well, here's the other thing that people don't understand is Lyme is not just tick-borne, right? Lyme and all of its co-infections, you know, fleas, flies, mosquitoes, all those biting insects do carry Lyme and co-infections. It's also passed in utero from mother to child. It's also sexually transmitted. So there are many ways that you can end up with, you know, Borrelia, Babesia, Ehrlichia, you know, Bartonella. Like, it's not just.
It's really scary, isn't it? It's very scary that you can get it in so many ways, and it can ruin your life if you don't know that that's what's going on, and you end up with OCD that's uncontrollable, or brain fog that you can't get out of bed.
Yeah. So I think that we're all exposed. We all have it at this point, and we just have to really, nourish our immune system appropriately. And I too, living in Connecticut, I am always cycling through these beautiful botanicals that I know will help to prevent and fuel my body's ability to fight off any kind of infection that comes my way. I think it's really important to be proactive and preventative.
So how do you do that? Do you spray yourself? Do you wear protective clothing? Do you take something before you go out in your garden? What do you do?
So I don't use sprays, really. I don't think that they work. I just do I'm definitely careful. I check my body all the time. I use clothing, you know, long sleeves, whatever. But I take botanicals all spring and summer and fall. I'll cycle through the cemento. I take a lot of cemento, cryptolepis, artemisia, these ones that I was just saying that I like to use.
Yep.
I'll just take them, you know, proactively because I know that, you know, I know that I'm being exposed, right?
Right.
So I just want to, and I also, if ever I get any kind of bite, like an insect bite, I think putting essential oils, tea tree oil or seeds or something like that, on the side of the bite can be super helpful.
Tea tree oil is just a remarkable product, and you can buy that in all kinds of ways. You can even get it in your toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, Lauren, let's go back where we started. Your son who got you on this amazing path, he got married. He's getting a PhD.
He finished his PhD.
Finished his PhD. He's got a wife and...
and he just moved to Chicago. He's working as a chief engineer at a startup in Chicago, and it's just an amazing story.
Are you going to write the book?
I am writing a book. Yeah, and he's he's very much a part of it. He's actually an incredibly beautiful person, and also very, very open about his journey. I mean, he remembers what it was like. He used to talk to a lot of the families when he was around to give them, you know, insight and hope. And he actually has been to some of the Documenting Hope events to talk to parents.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't go into this field. He's going to keep it at home, and he's going to help the world in other ways. Lauren, this is such an amazing story. I'm so honored to know you and to have you as a resource in the community. Do you see people virtually or not?
I do. Most of my practice has been virtual at this point.
Good. So it's Althea Health and Wellness?
And Wellness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. Lauren, thank you for all you do, and... I just wonderful to know about your son and his recovery. Congratulations.
Oh, it's so amazing to speak with you, and thank you for all you do in your amazing books. I can't wait to read your new one.
I'm going way out there. It's a steep climb, but I think it'll be good. So thank you for coming on, and I hope to see you soon.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic and expensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.